Hello and welcome back to the For the Property Investor podcast. And we have the weekly news segment again with Nick Bendall. Welcome back, Nick.
Thank you for having me. You can't get rid of me.
No. And yeah, we don't really. I've never expressed any desire to get rid of you yet, Nick. Yeah. Yeah. But you're the man that brings the news. So without you, this segment would not exist. So yes, we're very grateful for that.
Yeah, it wouldn't be as entertaining if it was just 20 minutes of silence.
Yes, which most people would say that when I talk alone, it's just 20 minutes of silence. So yes, it's I understand. But what's been happening in your work week for the past week?
Well, just to share a highlight, I own a business called Hunter and Scribe, which is a copywriting agency for property and finance professionals. And I just last week made plans with a financial advisor client to write a 6,000 word report on the upcoming federal budget, which the advisor is going to email to their clients. So I'm looking forward to writing that.
Wow. That's like more words than I've ever written in my life. It's that's huge. Well done.
Well, thank you. When you like writing and when you find the federal budget very interesting, you put those two things together, it's a marriage made in heaven. So I'm looking forward to it. Has anything interesting happened with you and Lee Field over the past week?
Oh, the past week, we've had another short week. So it's short week syndrome last week. So still trying to think of what actually happened. It was, but yes, lots happening. Highlight of last week was we've got a new business partner starting with us, who is a buyer's agent on the ground in Toowoomba in Queensland. And it's an area that's fast growing and good economy. It's apparently the second largest inland city in the country. Yes, so that buyer's agent will be helping us with on the ground work, as well as helping to get more clients on the ground in Toowoomba with their properties for us to look after. So, here's to Toowoomba growing within our business. So, exciting times.
Very exciting. And what's the largest inland city in Australia?
I was thinking that myself. It's might need to ask Mr. Google.
Ballarat, maybe.
Yeah, or Tamworth, or Wagga Wagga, or yes. Good question.
I'm going to look that up after this podcast.
Okay, let us know next week. Stay tuned for next week's episode, where we'll find out the largest inland city. If anyone knows that, and in between now and next week, please let us know. Send us a message. We'd be keen to know.
And let's move on to the news, Owen. Very first story is annual inflation falls, but quarterly inflation rises. The latest inflation data from the Australian Bureau of Statistics showed annual inflation at 3.6% for the March quarter, which was both good and bad news. The good news was that year-on-year inflation fell for the fifth consecutive quarter after peaking at 7.8% in December 2022. The bad news was that quarter-on-quarter inflation rose from 0.6% in December to 1% in March. If inflation stays higher for longer, the Reserve Bank will be wary of reducing the cash rate, which means it might be a while before home loan rates start falling. Owen, I'm keen to get your feedback. Are you surprised that the Reserve Bank is still struggling to return inflation to its target range of 2 to 3%?
No, I'm not overall surprised. It's the economy is fairly strong and going well. But it's bubbling along. And I mean going well from it's not, we're not in sort of boom times necessarily, but it's going well for what we were all expecting. There was a lot of expectation that we were going to go into a recession. We're certainly not doing that. And so with the amount of immigration that we've had, I mean, again, not surprised, because the federal government seems to be trying to maybe balance off any negative effects on the economy from high interest rates by having boosted the levels of immigration into the country, and which has kept the economy bubbling along, because we need those people for jobs. And if they've got jobs, then that means more income into the economy, and people are buying things, and there's a lot of demand. And so, yes, that's kept the economy going, which in turn keeps upward pressure on inflation. Mm. So it's, not surprising.
Before this inflation data came out, the widespread view was the next movement in the cash rate would be down. But after this data came out, some economists started speculating about a rate hike in the next few months. Could you see that happening?
Yes, we were all expecting and hoping, including myself, that we would have even had a rate cut earlier than was originally expected. But with these inflation figures, as to go back to what I always say, is you can never really predict more than 3 months out, because things change. And so you need to be able to be open to changing your mind on things. So, and that includes the Reserve Bank and the federal government. And when we've got, everyone was predicting a September at the earliest rate cut, but now it's quite possible that if the next move is a rate cut, that'll be early next year now. And that's if there's not a requirement for a rate hike in between, as you've posed. And with the if we keep in immigration figures up like we have done, which will, even though they've said that they're cutting back, that can cause more inflation issues. And then with the tax cuts that we're getting 1st of July, then that could fuel even more inflationary issues as well.
Mm. I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you a hard question, because I know you're a man who doesn't shy away from making tough decisions. The RBA needs to choose between the lesser of two evils, because there's a trade-off between inflation, interest rates, and unemployment. We can have higher interest rates, which means lower inflation, but also higher unemployment. Or we can have lower interest rates, which means lower unemployment, but also higher inflation. Which of those two options do you think is the lesser of two evils?
The worst situation is high inflation. So anything that brings inflation down and keeps it down for the long term is the first choice.
Okay, so then to get that lower inflation, we need to accept higher interest rates and higher unemployment.
Unfortunately, yes. But these things do pass once we have sustained lower inflation. Then we can lower interest rates because we don't want to fall into a recession. And that's what the RBA has probably done here, with them trying to have a bit of a soft landing by not pushing interest rates any further in the last 6 months or so, 6-9 months. And it's, but inflation is being a bit stubborn. And that's the problem with inflation, and why you need to be on top of it and keep it under control, because the market will, if it can will push inflation up. And unfortunately, the number one lever is interest rates. I mean, we could use fiscal policy to rein these things in, but unfortunately, fiscal policy is actually going to make it worse this year with cut in taxes. So, yes, there's that's set in stone. It won't change. So, unfortunately, we're stuck with monetary policy.
Well, I do like the fact that you're prepared to make hard decisions. The governor of the Reserve Bank makes more than $1 million a year. I might nominate you to be Michelle Bullock's successor. Obviously, you'd have to take a pay cut, but the fact that you're prepared to make those hard decisions, I think would be good for the country.
Oh, if it's only $1 million a year, yeah. I mean, it's. I'm sure I could make that sacrifice, Nick. It's for the good of the country. I think someone needs to finally, get control.
Well, you are a patriot. I thank you for that. Let's move on to our next story. WA tightens the screws on Airbnb rentals. The owners of short-term rental properties in Western Australia will need to add their property to an official register by January 1, following the passing of new laws. The aims of the short-term rental accommodation registration scheme are to give governments and communities a clearer idea of how much short-term rental activity there is and ensure short-term property owners understand local laws and planning controls. Now, here's kind of the differentiation. Under the new laws, if the property is in Perth and it's unhosted, i.e. the owners aren't living in the property at the same time as the visitors, you can only rent out the property for more than 90 days per year if you have council approval. However, if the property is hosted, i.e. the owners live in the property with the visitors, you can rent out the property for more than 90 days per year without getting council approval. Owen, do you think it's reasonable or unreasonable for the government to ask short-term property owners to register their property?
The government can ask whatever they like. There's lots of rules and regulations that we all find reasonable or unreasonable. Depends on whether you're being negatively or positively affected by it. I think the bigger issue is how are they going to police it? And what are they going to do if you don't register? And how are they going to know if you're actually living in the property and you've rented it out for more than 90 days in a year? It's they're going to keep on knocking on your door once every month or something and check. It's just like it's I think they're asking a lot. I understand why they're wanting to do it, and I don't necessarily disagree with why they're wanting to do it. But how are they policing these things? And
I do know that Airbnb and those other short-term platforms share their data with the ATO. So okay. I'm wondering if they're also going to share their data with the WA government.
Sure, but even still, like, how do you know if someone's living in the property or not? And while they're renting it out, how do you? I guess they'd be able to find out, how long it's been rented for if the data's been shared. It seems like they're asking a lot and a lot of regulation, and it seems like it's more a self-regulated thing. So.
Let me ask you a follow-up question on that, Owen. So under the new laws, someone with an unhosted property can't rent it out for more than 90 days per year without council approval.
Mm.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I don't think that's unfair. It's because there will be certain council areas that have a high demand for long-term accommodation, and that's a good way of controlling the amount of supply for the long-term market. And then there'll be other council areas that have an influx of holiday makers at certain times of year, and they know whether or not there's enough properties. So if that's controlled by council, yeah, I don't think that part is unfair or unreasonable.
And what about, again, under the new law, someone with a hosted property can rent it out as much as they like, so more than 90 days, every day of the year if they like, without needing council approval? What do you think of that?
I think that's fine. It's like, again, yeah, because if they might be just renting out a room, or a part of the house, might be a granny flat or something like that, or a lower duplex, and in that scenario, that might be that can be fine, and it's not taking away the whole dwelling from the long term market, being rental or owner occupied. I think that's reasonable. Again, knowing how to police that and how they'll do that is another thing. So that would be interesting. But they're at least taking steps to be able to improve the long-term supply issue for long-term rentals.
And of course, Western Australia is one of the markets where Leafield, your property management business, operates. And yes. For our final story, we're going to go to South Australia, another market where you're active. South Australia named Australia.
Just starting now, in fact. We've got our first two managements signed up, ready to go.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, very nice. Well, that's going to give a further boost to the South Australian economy, which is already doing well, as we'll see. SA named Australia's leading state. South Australia has been named the country's top state for the second consecutive quarter in ComSec's quarterly State of the States ranking. Western Australia placed second, Victoria third, New South Wales, Queensland, Tassie and the ACT tied for fourth, and the Northern Territory placed eighth. ComSec ranks the states and territories by comparing their current performances on eight key indicators with their long-term averages. South Australia placed first in four of the eight economic indicators: economic growth, unemployment, home building starts, and construction works. Of the other four indicators, WA ranked first for population growth and equipment investment, Queensland ranked first for home loans, and the ACT ranked first for retail spending. Owen, are you surprised South Australia has now topped the rankings for two consecutive quarters?
No, not really. It's every time you put the news on and see a story about South Australia, it's usually fairly positive about their nightlife or their restaurant culture or cafe culture, and that goes along with all of the sporting events that they seem to be attracting there as well. So it's from that point of view. And when you talk to people, well, it's like, oh, I just came back from Adelaide. And yes, I had a great time. It was really good. So it's not surprising from that point of view. When we talk to people within the property market, they say there's still a lot of demand there. Everyone thought Adelaide was just a one-hit wonder during the COVID years, where people were looking for good value in parts of the country that they could actually travel to, but its property prices are still going. They're pretty much on par with Brisbane now in terms of property prices. So it's surprising, but it's not a bad thing.
And we mentioned earlier that Leafield, your business, operates in five different states. Do you notice different economic conditions in the different states?
Not just the states, but even different regions within those states. But Queensland for one, I mean, it's a very large state, and in different areas, it's quite different in terms of the types of people and the demographic that you're dealing with, and different issues. But between the states, there's not a lot of issues with being able to find tenants. There's not a lot of difference between the states. WA is probably the hottest market at the moment in terms of being able to lease properties quickly, with large numbers of applications and large numbers of inquiry. But the other states, especially Queensland and New South Wales, it's still a healthy market from the point of view of you're still getting number of applications and good levels of inquiry, but WA is just that next level up.
And what sort of impact, if any, do local economic conditions have on local housing markets?
If we were in a normal property market across the country, we would be able to see differences. But I think with the lack of supply, it's the same story across every single state in the country. I think the only one where there isn't as big an issue of a lack of supply of housing is in the ACT. And that's probably why they don't have as big an issue with rising rents. So, but every other state in the country, it's the same issue where there's too much demand, not enough supply, and it's having a negative effect. But in normal times, yes, we would see a varied market across the country in different areas.
And I just want to clarify something you mentioned a few minutes ago, because I'm sure many of our audience are wondering. When you were talking about the great nightlife and restaurants in South Australia, were you talking about Adelaide or Coober Pedy?
yes, I think it's specifically Adelaide, yeah.
Okay, well, noted. I will cancel my trip to Coober Pedy, but I did go there in 2004 and loved the place.
Yes, you probably spent a lot of time underground, yeah.
A little bit. I was there in April. It was stinking hot. Flies everywhere. I did spend some time underground. Found it fascinating. The history of the town's really interesting. There's some stunning outback scenery out of town. A place called The Breakaway is just stunning. Really good spot, but apparently don't go there for the nightlife.
No, from what I've heard, it's not that entertaining.
Okay, well, on that note, Owen, thank you for sharing your thoughts about what's been making news over the past week.
Yes, and next week we'll hear more about the weekly news and maybe another short segment on the travel guide as well.
Something to look forward to.
All right, thanks, Nick.
Bye.